Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Steve Austin Show is brought to you free today by our friends at BetOnline. The madness starts this week with conference tournaments and championships in the ACC, Big Ten, and Big East, just to name a few. It all culminates with Selection Sunday on 3/15. Be sure to check out BetOnline's $100,000 Bracket Madness starting on March 15th. Get in the mix at betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the great state of Nevada. I'm over at the Broken Skull Ranch 2.0, where we have been for almost a week. And in a couple of days, we will jump on an airplane and head back to the mean streets of Los Angeles, California, to get back right in the middle of all the ambulances, sirens, helicopters, ambulances, traffic, all the headaches and hassles that go with living in L.A. But L.A. has been good to me. I cannot complain. I just do not enjoy the traffic. Coming out here to Nevada has been very peaceful. Got a chance to go ride my buggies. Put some miles on my Kawasaki KRX 1000. That is a badass machine. Been spending some time in my 1974 Camaro with Travis Pruis of CTP Concepts on Instagram. We're about to install a suspension kit from Hotchkiss Suspensions and upgrade the handling on that. New steering box and some other stuff going on there. Going to swap out the exhaust, look at some paint and interior options, and do some work on that car finally. If you got a chance to watch the episode of Straight Up Steve Austin where I raced Fluffy Gabriel Iglesias in that car against his 77 Blue Trans Am, I was able to beat him in that race because he's running a four-speed car and I was running that automatic. And that 383 stroker is a stout motor. So finally, we're going to start making some improvements on that car and turning it into exactly what I want it to be. So stay tuned on my Instagram and Twitter accounts. I'll be posting some pictures. And probably going to start going back to that old YouTube channel I started way back in about 2007 or 2008 or 9 down at the Broken Skull Ranch. I can't even remember the name of it, but I'm going to post some of the build stuff on there since Instagram's kind of a more short-acting type thing. But finally getting a chance to mess with some of these cars now that we're getting settled down here in Nevada. That being said, I digress. Let me talk about my guest today here on the podcast. I've got old friend of mine that I've known for, man, at least 15, 16, 17 years, Mike O'Hearn. He's been on the cover of more magazines and romance novels and all kinds of stuff than pretty much any human being on planet Earth. One of the best physiques all across the country, all across the world for that matter. One of the strongest guys you'll ever meet. Trains incredibly hard, takes extremely great care of his body, and is due diligent on all of his nutrition 24/7, 365. He sent out some questions on his Instagram page, and you guys wanted to answer these questions, and I'll throw some answers out there too, but Mike's kind of the authority on the subject. So it's basically two guys shooting the breeze, going back and forth, talking about nutrition, and obviously lifting weights and a little bit about life as well. I always like talking to Mike O'Hearn because he's one of those guys who has got the gift of gab, and he's just no stranger to words. Guys were really easy to carry on a conversation with, and sometimes that's always welcome to get a guest like that who is so knowledgeable. So hopefully you will enjoy this podcast. Going to get some information out of this as far as how Mike trains and how he eats and some of, you know, what your expectations can be, you know, when following the program and, you know, is it a marathon? Is it a sprint? All kinds of stuff. But I enjoyed talking to Mike, and I'm going to have him on a podcast again. As far as everything else goes, Straight Up Steve Austin show, my show on the USA Network will start filming here in about 2 or 3 weeks. But man, in the near future, I'm looking forward to getting on an airplane and flying to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to go to Monday Night Raw on March 16th, 316, which is officially my day. Now, I didn't declare this holiday, or I didn't declare a national holiday on my behalf. It seems like the WWE Universe has declared 316 just to be Steve Austin Day, because of the famous promo that I cut way back at King of the Ring in 1996 when I got kicked in the mouth by Mark Marrow, got driven to the hospital in an ambulance. They put 14, 15, 16 stitches in my upper lip, wrestled Jake the Snake in the final, beat him, walked up to a microphone where Doc Hendricks was going to interview me, and I dropped the Austin 316 phrase and the 'cause Stone Cold said so phrase. And I hit two home runs, two grand slams, in fact, at a pay-per-view that I was never even supposed to win from the get-go. So all these years later, we celebrate, I guess, the beginning of officially announcing it on Monday Night Raw, 316 days. So I always thank everybody for the support for all these years, and I'm looking forward to making another appearance on Monday Night Raw. My appearances on that show are few and far between. I don't know exactly what I will be doing, but I'm going to be raised in hell and drinking plenty of cold Broken Skull IPA. My beer from El Segundo Brewing Company. We are in 17 states right now. In Texas, we have a big-ass shipment headed your way. Go to the El Segundo Brewing Company website, click on Broken Skull IPA, look at the interactive map, and you can find a location nearest you that sells my beer. It's the best IPA in America, and I stand by that statement, and that's the bottom line, because I said so. Anyway, let's get into the show. Nutrition, weightlifting, and life with Mike O'Hearn. The Titan, Mike O'Hearn. Welcome to the Broken Skull Studios. I heard some sirens blaring in the background. I said, oh, man, Mike is in an automobile accident, but it wasn't you. You showed up, your hair's combed, got the 22-inch guns blazing. How are you, my friend? It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Hell, right when I think my program is starting to take a little bit of shape and I start to make a few gains in the vein of losing some fat because I'm about to shoot my show, you show up and I feel like I should have wore a long sleeve shirt or I'm doing it wrong. What's up? How do you always stay in shape?
I got to say first, I love your periodically my text to me going, what the... What the, because I put up something or I just trained or did something or lifted something and you're like, so wish I'd stone cold slam you right now. So thank you for those.
Well, I was just messing around with you.
I love it.
Go ahead.
No, I just, I love this stuff, which leads me into a ton of, you got tons of questions. I got tons of questions too, because my fans are your fans. I'd even say more so, my fans are more your fans than they're my fans.
No, it's a crossover. I mean, just because, man, I was a professional wrestler for, you know, give or take 14 years. But, you know, I was always a fan of bodybuilding, powerlifting. And, of course, you kind of bridge the gaps with your bodybuilding stuff, you know, all the stuff with American Gladiators, a little bit of mixed martial arts in the background mix. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that we kind of cross-pollinate or just share a common interest and also our love of dogs. But we're not here to talk about dogs. We're here to talk about nutrition, working out, the balance, and you know, the commitment. Because it's a commitment.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons I think you're so consistent is because of, you know, it's part of your lifestyle. It's how you make a living, put food on the table. and you're committed to that healthy lifestyle, you know, just always grinding in the gym, 100%, always grinding on diet, about 100%. I mean, genetically gifted, but I mean, genetics will only get you so far. When you put in the work and you put in, you know, the nutrition, you know, that's a winner. Me, when it's off season, man, I go on the south side and start throwing down in margaritas. All of a sudden, I got a shoot date. So now I'm trying to catch up. But before we get into our conversation, let's talk about how we're going to do this, because I knew you were coming over, and I always like to talk with guys like you who have so much knowledge because it's what you do. So I wrote down some questions, and I've been doing this a long time, but, you know, guys like me don't do well training ourselves or trying to figure out the nutrition. And you also sent out something on your Instagram account, which is Mike O'Hearn. People, we're going to do a podcast. If you've got any questions, we'll provide answers. So you guys have some questions
great
as well,
ones.
Right?
Yeah, great ones.
All right, through the magic of editing and because of my technical prowess, I've added another microphone. Jeff joins in on the conversation to help Mike out asking all the questions that y'all sent to his Instagram account. And if you want some motivation, go to his Instagram account and see all jacked up and been training his ass off. And go to my account and watch me ride four-wheelers and stuff like that. Hey, before we get cranked up, how about the website? I see you're doing, you've got a nutrition app, you've got a fit plan app, you got your 30-day blitz, your online personal training, you're doing all kinds of stuff. Tell me about these new apps, because were these apps around the last time we talked?
No, they weren't. And great research. So we have teamed up, you can get my workouts worldwide, and I pay attention to you and your progress. And then my nutrition app is ridiculous. I'm telling you, and you know this. What's more important, nutrition or training?
They go hand in hand, but if you want to look good, nutrition.
Okay. So the nutrition is ridiculous. It's something, if you don't want to do red meat or you don't want to do this or that, or you want to do a carnivore diet or you want to do a vegan diet or whatever it is, or you have allergies, this thing and my team work out that we set you up on the right nutrition, and then we change it every 2 weeks. So it's something that's advanced, and it's great. Now I can seriously work with people worldwide.
Steve Austin Show is brought to you free today by our friends at BetOnline. The madness starts this week with conference tournaments and championships in the ACC, Big Ten, and Big East, just to name a few. It all culminates with Selection Sunday on 3/15. Be sure to check out BetOnline's $100,000 Bracket Madness starting on March 15th. Get in the mix to betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. So what does it consist of? If you're talking about all these different kinds of diets, are you a proponent of the carnivore system?
I am a guy that believes in any diet that you'll stay with, I can get you in shape.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I tried that carnivore diet, man. It wore my teeth out after 3 days. I said, no mas.
You tried it?
Yeah, I gave it a shot, man. Okay. To me, it was just too limiting. You know, I do like a couple of carbs. I got to watch my carbs. I just can't go all over the place. But I do like a little bit of variety. And that being said, I mean, being a guy, you know, my wife loves to cook. But if it's just me, man, I'm down with a two-course meal, a protein and a carb. Or if it's later on in the day, you know, protein, a little bit of fat. You know, but just eating a steak. When you'd have told me if I was in Tennessee wrestling when I was in the beginning, hey, Steve, and I was starving, we're going to sign you up to eat steaks every single meal of the day. I said, where'd I sign up? But right. After doing it, to me, it was too extreme. Have you ever tried it?
I have, but I believe in that I can't speak about this, and this is where the level I am at. I can't speak about any nutrition plan unless I do it and understand it. And so that, my whole career, I've tried every single diet there is. But I always go back to, and I hate this, but carbohydrates is such a key thing for your body. And I know that people, as they get older, they get more scared and stay away from it. But it's the one thing that's kept me healthy.
How many carbs, just in general?
It depends on if I'm cutting up for a show or a contest or guest posing or in my off season and getting strong. But I'll go from anywhere from 400 grams down to 50 grams, depending on what I am trying to do and accomplish. But more than anything else, it's the body understanding what carbohydrates do and me not changing how the body functions. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that as we get older, we get more and more scared, and so we stay away from it. And then when you go back to it, the body freaks out. And so you don't give it enough time to go, no, 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 this is what the carbohydrates do. This is how it works with your body. And we don't give it enough time. People just don't have that kind of patience.
I always, the few times when I tried the carnivore diet, that lasted a couple of days, so I didn't need, you know, much in the way of, you know, trying to get back into my other system. But when I went keto for a little bit, hey, that was highly effective. But all of a sudden, you know, I ain't going to live keto forever. It just ain't, man. All of a sudden, you drop your carbs back in, you get some rebound.
Boom.
So, you know, I think it's cool that you said I can't speak to it if I had never done it. Because a lot of people just, whatever. I can tell you, I thought it was okay. I like a steak every now and then, but a steak for every single meal, too much.
One thing I do is when I travel and give lectures and I'm with the other doctors and people that are talking about nutrition, then I'll just, you kind of set it up in a way and you go, okay, so this is what you would do for you at your stage. And this is what I recommend to people. Okay, now what are you going to tell the 15-year-old kid? You going to tell him to do a carnivore diet? Not one doctor is going to say yes. Not one doctor is going to say do keto. Because there's a point where your body's functioning at such a high rate that it still knows how to utilize all this stuff. And you're also growing. But at some point, we shut that down and go, all right, we're 25, we're 30, we're 35. We got to shut that down instead of just trying to stay consistent and trying to teach it.
Hey, before we get into it, I know you have an affiliation, a relationship with Icon Meals. Now,
Todd,
I also see you online doing some chef work with, you know, some of you guys over here and there, you know, making nutritious meals that also taste good. So where are you at on that? Is the Icon stuff more for you when you're out on the road? Are you eating those things every single day? Because, you know, I'm doing my meal prep, and I can see the value and, you know, why the Icon stuff would be so good, but are you eating that stuff every day?
I do. Icon's 24/7, but we also try to understand that not everybody wants to do pre-made meals and stuff like that. So we also show them the option. And if you saw anything as of late, we got to work with Chef Rush. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my gosh. He used to work at the White House. He was a chef. But, man, he's got 22-inch arms and just a beast, a military guy. But we got to cook up some great steaks from Piedmontese and Mark Bell got me onto those guys, and Mark's a huge carnivore guy. But no, we try to teach people that you can cook it up at home, you can meal prep. We just we don't run into that time that we have that meal prep time because we're traveling. And I'm surprised that you can meal prep as busy as you are.
Well, if I go out on the road filming my show, man, I'll go to Sonny's Barbecue and just get a bunch of chicken breasts, you know, and then I'll just kind of lay back on the carbs. So it's kind of I just make it work for me.
You make right decisions.
Well, yeah, you can make, yeah, it's all about, well, you know the road. I mean, yep. I think, yeah, the Icon stuff, or if you can bring that stuff or get it shipped to where you're going, yeah, that's probably your ace in the hole. But, man, where there's a will, there's a way. You can look at any kind of menu and make something work. I mean, you can roll through McDonald's if you got to, you know, get you a hamburger and throw everything away but the meat. I mean, you know, don't jump off some fries. It's just got too much grease in them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Do you want to stay like that? No, but as a means to an end to get you through where you got to go, just make the right decisions.
And we travel more than most.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't want to travel too much anymore.
I know, but man, there's nobody travels more than wrestling. As much as I've traveled, and I guest pose almost every other weekend and stuff, and or lectures and stuff, but that's still not even half the traveling that you did. And so I can't imagine the beatdown, first of all, nutrition-wise, and trying to recover while you're wrestling and exercising, and then trying to stay on a healthy plan. That's got to be.
Well, you know, back in those years, you know, your body, as you were kind of alluding to earlier, talking about that 15-year-old, what that person's going to eat. Well, don't throw them on carnivore. No, man, you know, back when you're, you know, 25, 30 and highly active, going to the gym, being in that tense workout that you get from being in a ring and just never sitting down, you can get away with a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you get more sedentary, and I don't think it's always about the age. But it's about, you know, what you do with your activity. But and again, one more question before we get into the real questions. I saw you on your Instagram account, which is very informative and very motivational. You've got 170-pound dumbbells. I think you've got, I think, eight reps, six or eight. It was in that ballpark. And it says after a two-day fast.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing with this two-day fast, and why?
All right, so let me go back to the point where I said I cannot speak on anything. And I don't believe. And this, the reason I don't speak on it is because I don't believe anybody should speak on it if they're not studied in it. There's a difference between studying and reading something and then applying it and making it work, like Bruce Lee. You can read all you want, but the real experience is you living through it. So I'm not going to talk about fasting and what the upside and downside is, or a keto diet or any type of diet, unless I've done it. And so that was, honestly, after 2 days of fasting, just to see how I would feel and how strong I could be after 2 days of no food, and to understand what was the chemicals that were firing, what gave me energy, what didn't give me, how did I feel mentally, all those aspects. And so it was straight up. And people ask me, what kind of fast is that? I don't know of any other fast, but water. So it's fasting. Yeah. So it's 2 days, no food. It was actually, I guess, close to 50 hours. It was more like it, with no food. And then went in and hit some inclines, and that was the secondary thing. And that was 170 dumbbells for a nice ride of 8 to 10. So at my weakest state.
How was your state of mind during the fast? How hungry did you get? It sounds like a dumb question, but I like to hear people explain how they're feeling when you're going through a two-day fast when you're used to eating as regimented as you are.
Starving for the first portion, then your body will kind of shut down, and then you're content. Mind, now see, everything, and I go back to this again when I say what diet works, whatever diet you like. You stay consistent on any diet, you're going to get progress. I will say this. There is no perfect diet. But with fasting, the clarity in the mind is just a given. It is so clear. You're so clear. You come up with some incredible, incredible things mind-wise. But, you know, you're fatigued and you're also shutting down your own metabolism. As much as they say, hey, fasting's going to restart and everything, It's teaching your body to function in a different way. And especially for people that talk about and say, do this all year long. Remember when fasted cardio came in? And then suddenly everybody says fasted cardio all the time. Well, no, that was actually something that was just applied to people getting ready for fitness shows in the last month to get rid of any extra fat they have. But suddenly it's now do it all year. Okay, now you're just teaching again. It's teaching your body how to function. So you're telling me, for me to get in shape, I got to stop eating. I mean, come on now. Is that where we're getting to? But it seems like we are getting to that point. And as we're trying to teach these people how to eat, it's not that we're teaching them anymore. We're actually just arguing against people that are saying the opposite.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
Does your lawn suck? Are you spending hours trying to make your grass look thicker and healthier with no results? Look no further than Scotts. Scotts Turf Builder Thicker Lawn has everything you need to turn your lawn into the thick green paradise that you deserve. With this 3-in-1 solution, you can get up to a 50% thicker lawn with just one application. With Scotts Turf Builder Thicker Lawn, you can finally get the thickest, greenest lawn you've always dreamt of. Host your backyard parties with pride this summer. Scott's Turf Builder Thicker Lawn 3-in-1 Solution consists of seeds to fill in gaps, soil improver for enhanced root development, and fertilizer to feed new grass and thicken and green the existing stuff. Also, Scott's No Quibble Money Back Guarantee states, if you're not satisfied, you get your money back. Simple as that. Get thicker, quicker. This is a Scott's Yard.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Okay, so then what about the fast cardio?
Again, during a portion of time during the year, if you've got something big, then utilize it and then go away from it. And again, go away from cardio itself. You shouldn't be all year long. And I keep going back to like what Mona looks like. And we can describe Mona, my girl. Is 147 pounds. She had a baby 11 months ago. She was a former Miss Universe, but that was also 10 years ago. And she's already back in shape 3 months after having the baby. Well, why is that? Did she fast? Did she do a lot of cardio? No, we took her in an off season when she had the baby. We raised her calories. We let her body relax. Now, that seems odd because today, mostly with social media, all these women want to stay in shape. But they're an incubator for this incredible thing that's coming. So why wouldn't you just load the calories, make sure the baby's safe, have the baby, and then you just drop your calories a little bit and your body automatically moves forward. And that's all we did with her. And that's what I try to teach people. And it doesn't mean you have to have a baby to do this. It just means anybody. If we can take time off, if extreme workouts, 3 to 4 months, no cardio, training at 70%, making sure you're taking in carbohydrates so your body understands what it's doing with the carbohydrates, and then raise that level up when you got a TV show or something, then your body automatically changes. And it doesn't matter if you're 30 or 20 or 50.
Okay, so right now where you're at, you always maintain a very low percentage of body fat. And I think, again, it's genetics. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of due diligence on the nutrition. So right now, are you employing cardio?
Right now is probably the worst shape I've ever been in the last year.
Boy, you lucky I don't crawl across that desk and punch you in the mouth.
And I'm glad because when they see photos of this and they say that, what I did this last year was I guest posed. And this is what I tell everybody. I said, don't do what I'm doing right now. I am still studying this and I'm still studying the body. And I get more enjoyment out of that right now because I already competed. I already did all that. So how much can I learn now about the body, mostly at this stage? Because now it's a whole new, I'm now 50. So what can I do and how much more advanced can I get or keep? Or can I get better? Because everybody says what? After college, you peaked. That's it. Okay. All right. 30 years old. You peaked. That's it. Well, 40 years old. Well, now I know 50-year-olds. I know 60-year-olds that look like freaks now. So what are they doing? What is it? What's that longevity? Because I think you and I agree on this, that longevity isn't you live until 110. It's how long can you function and have a great quality of life. That's longevity. How can you go in at a 50 and go against the current strongest man and beat him on lifts? Well, wait a minute. Not just a strong man. I'm talking about the current world's strongest man. That's kind of fun. That's the kind of tussling you and I like, right? And that's the kind of stuff that I'm trying to teach people. And so right now, even though what I'm doing is hurting my body in a sense by staying in a deficit, by continuing to try these different diets, the one thing I do know is there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I understood a lot more this year than I've ever known, so which is great on the learning aspect of it. But I also understand how much better I can get now in this next year.
So then you're saying you're at a deficit right now, but you're not doing any cardio.
No. I'm doing cardio. I'm doing a deficit. I'm doing fasted. I'm doing different styles of dieting. Every 8 weeks to 12 weeks, I'll do a different style to find out. I even thought about doing, we attempted a vegan diet. But the studies just show so much deterioration to connective tissue that it's against my principles to even try that. Mostly at this stage in my career.
Some of our buddies have gone vegan or vegetarian. I said, because my wife has been a vegetarian for a very long time, she just doesn't like the texture of meat. And so at 18, when she didn't have to eat everything on her table as mandated by her father, she decided, hey, I'm not eating meat anymore. And that's worked well for her. And anytime we get our blood work done, it is premier. Me, hey, I lasted about 6 days, and I, you know, am I a fan of the carnivore diet? It's for some people, it ain't for me. Am I a fan of meat and vegetables in my diet? Absolutely. So if you say you're at a deficit and you're walking around right now, what are you, 260?
265, yeah.
265, a lean 265. So what is your caloric intake? Because I'm guessing you got to know if you're at a deficit.
Yeah, I'm at 2,200. Which is nothing. And you know that.
That's why mostly my eyes are so big right now.
Yeah. Mostly the way I train and the amount of cardio I do.
2,200 calories?
Yeah. Yeah.
How long have you been on that?
I'd say at least 12 weeks now, I'd say, easily. 4 months? 4 months. Mona just gave me the 4 months.
And you're still smiling.
And I'm still smiling. I know. I'm smiling here. Mona would say different later.
Okay, well, I've got 3 pages of questions, but they're my meathead questions. Let's get to Jeff, because you put out...
You said something earlier, and I want to jump back before I forget this. You said something, because I'm curious about this. Because leading into these questions, I kind of know some of the questions are going to be... a lot of them are... injury questions. How do you come back? How do you stay healthy? How do you have longevity? How do you travel roads and get your workouts and all those kind of things? But one of the things that you said earlier is like when you were 20 and 30, and I was the same way, we were freaks. We were big. We could eat. We could eat, and your body would utilize it. What is it that – how much more do you know now about body and nutrition and how to train for you? And what would you have said to your young self? Because if you're 20 or 30, you should be in shape. You really should be. You know, your body is functioning so well at that stage.
I cannot argue with that. At that age, there's no reason. I mean, unless metabolically there happens to be something wrong with a person. I mean, that and because everybody has a different set of genetics. But yeah, just for regular everyday people to just be really, really, really bad out of shape, not a whole lot of excuses.
It's not, right?
No, but to ask you, and I don't want to go too far down that road, because like I said, some people are, whatever, they have a condition. But just as far as am I smarter now than I used to be, just as far as my knowledge of nutrition, man, I'm that guy that just, you know, would rather have somebody really, an expert, help me with that stuff.
I understand.
But I would say probably I'm smarter than I was, but... You know, that's why I like speaking with people who that's what they do, because, you know, they have a better bottom line. You know, it's like, you know, someone watching wrestling, you know, and they love it. They'd like to do it. They think they know something about it. But if you want to talk to me about it, I probably have a PhD level of understanding. So my nutritional understanding, I get the brass tacks of it, and I'm not an idiot. But you know, I guess it's the application of it and not overdoing cardio or this, that, or whatever. To answer your question, I'm probably, you know, give or take about the same.
What do you think is the number one thing when it comes to nutrition? Do you think it's carbs? Is it protein? Is it fats? Or is it consistency?
I think consistency. I mean, day in, day out. And like when I was talking about my off season, like just talk about my hunting season, I talk about this all the time. And if it's my period of relaxation and I'm on margaritas and a couple of beers, you can go to hell in a handbasket real quick just because, you know, you're throwing in the gas tank that's probably not going to be burned because it has to be eliminated before you eliminate any food, you know, anywhere from 850 to 1,500 extra calories a day of garbage, 7 grams, you know, and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, versus what? Carbs are 8 or 9.
8.
And proteins and fats are 4. So 7 grams of nothing, but a whole bunch of them, empty calories. So
I'm sorry, fats are 8.
Fats.
Fats are 8.
My bad. I'm all tongue-tied over here.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Because you just said something, and I don't even think you realize this. You actually just talked about an off-season, which I agree with you that you should have, and everybody should have. And this will be the first time in years that I've been able to do this off season and actually try to put muscle back on. My girl's demanding this, which is great. But what you did was you took a period of time where you backed down on the training and you raised your calories. Okay, whatever calories they were, okay? But you did do this. You did raise your calories into a surplus, and you did back down the training. So that made your body do what? It actually helped try to speed up your metabolism to utilize the calories that you're putting in, regardless of what they are. Your body just functions that way. You put in more calories, it's going to try to burn those off. Now, you had an excess. Okay, so it is what it is. But how fast, and this is going to teach everybody something huge, how fast did your body change as soon as you went back on the season, dropped the alcohol, and went to start to train again?
I'm still working on it.
I know, but did your body change within a couple weeks if you stopped your alcohol and went back to training?
You feel different, and, well, after two or three days, you know, you feel different. you start feeling alive again. And then it takes a while for the composition process to start, you know.
To
and
see
then
it.
Slowly, yeah. Then you know, the fat kind of starts coming off. But it's a process, and it's not something that just, hey, all of a sudden I quit drinking for a week, so, you know, I'm back to, you know, 10%. It don't happen like that,
but
man.
It does move in the right direction.
It starts moving. Yeah, I'm in the beer business, but yeah. You know, if you're trying to be in the in shape business, you can't drink a six pack of beer every single night. You just can't. For that matter, to hell with the alcohol, you can't eat a pecan pie every single night. You know, whatever you want to name as your
like
poison,
to,
yeah, or you know, go get you know. A bucket of fried chicken. Yeah. You can't eat that every single night. So, you know. But
I like the fact.
Once you clean up, or once I clean up, things start moving in the right direction.
And I don't think people realize that, though. And it's got to be a period of time. It's not going to happen within a day. But in a couple weeks, even me dieting, even if I switch up my nutrition, I don't look different for a couple weeks. And then after a couple weeks, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. It is now kicking in. And it takes a period of time. But what I love about what you just talked about is that you did at least go on an off season. You did take in calories. You backed down on cardio. That period actually helps heal your body regardless of what you were doing. I'm not saying for people to do this, but it gives them an idea that this whole mentality of social media that I'm a beast 24/7, that's ridiculous. I mean, you can't be a beast 24/7, 365. You're going to deteriorate and you're going to burn out. And with my training or my nutrition, whatever it is, and that's why I tell people to do what I say, try to go in more off-season most of the time and then pick 12 to 16 weeks that you go, I'm going ballistic and getting in shape. And each time you do that, you're going to get in better shape, regardless of your age.
Hiring is a challenge, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Steve. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Just for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, you can try ZipRecruiter for free when you head over to ZipRecruiter.com/Steve. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Steve to find the ideal candidates for the job. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And on that note of, you know, starting a program, dude, you've been doing this for a long time. Dude, you're one of the most well-known guys in the world as far as physiques and all that stuff. Sometimes you just go have that great workout or you have that great cardio session. You go rip off your shirt and this right into a program, right? And you just think you're going to see results. No, brother. You ain't going to see those results after a workout. You're not going to see them the next day. It's going to be weeks upon weeks upon weeks. And then, you know, that's why that weekly or biweekly picture, you know, that selfie in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
You start stringing those together
it.
Because when I'm looking at me, you know, I'm seeing me, and, boy, that can be real bad. But if I have that picture to look at me to compare what's going on as the weeks start piling up, and that consistency is really no lower than 95% of adherence, that's when I can start see all the pieces start coming together. And then I become motivated because I can see my results are happening and the work that I'm putting in and the things that I'm abstaining from, you know, because I need to, you know, are paying off.
So you mean 1 week ain't going to do it?
No.
See, I love that you said that because not just you, me too. I'm no different than that. And there's a point where I think it was last year I was getting ready for one of the biggest shows to guest pose. And I just wanted to be extra special for that show. I think it was also because it was around my 50th. And so I went extreme. I mean, whatever I would do before to get ripped, I would even go more so. I didn't care if it was 10 more minutes of abs or 10 more minutes of cardio, whatever it was. And I kept doing this, and I got this look on Mona's face every week. And then I get off stage, and she shows me the video, and I go, what the? Because, again, I couldn't even see me. And this is for everybody out there. I hope you guys understand that it's not just the guys that are out of shape. It's the guys that are in shape. We can't see us. And I looked at myself, and I said, why didn't you tell me? I basically just ran myself into the ground, and I looked flat and softer than ever. And so she goes, if I told you this, you would never have believed me. And she showed me the video, and I'm sitting there going, I'm trying to get the very best I can, and I'm going to outwork everybody. And I still look bad because I was thinking that the work was going to do it. And I think, I hope everybody understands what you said is take the pictures, understand that it's going to be a period of time, and really look at those pictures and the whole aspect about the pictures, not just the body weight, because you could be putting on muscle, even though your body weight doesn't change.
Scale can lie.
It can lie. And your eyes can lie because you look at yourself every single day. And it is such a different world when somebody else takes a picture of you and shows you. I'm working with like Michael Bisbean and these other guys that are just big time names. And they're, you know, they're at that stage where they want to make sure that body's healthy and good and stuff. And they took pictures and they go, I'm glad you told me to take a picture. Because as bad as I thought I look worse. And we're all perfectionists. I mean, you know, we're very hard on ourselves. And so for all these guys, and they look at themselves and go, okay, now I'm focused. So that photo will change you. That photo will, you know, what we think we look like relative to what we really look like, it's two different worlds.
Well, and here's the thing also. One of my little hacks is, you know, it's like if you have a pool of water and the middle is kind of the deeper part, like a puddle that would be in the road, right? When that puddle starts drying out, you know, it starts creeping from the edges. And then finally when that center will end up drying out eventually, but it'll be the last thing to dry. Okay. Look at your body. Okay. Here's your limbs. You know, when I swing my legs out, I can look at my calves and I'll say,
yeah, we were looking at them too.
Hey man, no, there's some veins starting to come through on the insides of my, you know, my shins between my bone and that calf, or in my forearms, I'm starting to get that vascularity. Well, in the drum, I'm still, you know, almost the exact same, you know, as I was. But I know that's coming just because I know, you know, the fat's going to, you can't spot reduce. Right. But it's going to come from the least amount of fat first and then get, you know, finally after 16, 20, however many weeks it takes, then you'll start carving off those trouble spots. And everybody has one.
Yep.
I mean,
everybody, genetically.
You're kind of more spread out, but I mean,
mine's all
me,
in my
it's
head.
My waist. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, I look for little things like that. They say, okay, man, just stick with it because there's so many ways you can know it. Like I said, you looking at yourself or me looking at myself and say, God dang, dude, nothing you're doing is working. You're running yourself in the ground. You just be patient, stay the course, take those pictures, and just look for the little bit of improvements. But don't look for nothing every single day.
Yeah.
And at this point, I always think, okay, how long did it take me to get here? I probably took, you know, and that was a bad thing. I just stopped working out rather than just, you know, work out on top of doing everything. It's okay. Going to take you a while to dig yourself out of the hole. So, I'm commit, and, you know, I just got to watch, you know, what I do. But I digress. Do you want to do some of these questions?
I do, man. We got time for it? Let's go. I think I'm so much I can talk to you about, though. I mean, that's what I love about it. But
Well, no, I mean, we can continue shooting the breeze, but however you want to do it. I know you fired off some questions out there on Instagram. Yeah.
We did. Let's have Jeffrey jump in here and ask some of these questions, because I think some of these questions are really good.
Yeah, so here's a really good one right here. So, Steve, after, you know, you've had all those, you know, all the success in the ring, the championships, and Mike on stage. Do you guys have any advice on, like, training and keeping motivated over the years?
I think for me, it's knowing that the life that I live is because of the foundation work that I do. If I stay on my nutrition, if I continue to train, if I continue to try to learn about health and fitness, I'll continue the life I've lived and I've loved my life. And that alone gives me the motivation to continue this.
Man, my biggest thing is, you know, that old constant cliche that's been around for years, everything in moderation. Because all of a sudden, you know, I get bent out of shape or someone's out of shape or whatever, and they get inspired for whatever reason it may be. And I'll look at all these things that, you know, the magazine is telling them to buy. Hey, I need to go get some creatine. I need a protein powder. I need branched chain amino acids. I need some fish oil. You know, I need this or that. And they want to go down to the health food store, buy a bunch of stuff, and just jump on a nutritional supplement program. But, hey, man, at a later stage, you know, when you start kind of really dialing in, that might help you. But just start with the basics. And then, you know, like, okay, you want to start getting in shape? Hey, man, don't just start training 7 days a week with high levels of volume or high intensity. High intensity cardio every single day. So just don't just jump all in. Just be careful. And not be careful, but just take the approach that, again, you know, getting in shape or maintaining a physique, that is a marathon, you know. And so you can be in a bigger hurry as you want to get there, but really back off, brother or sister. Ease into it. Just keep committing. Stay consistent. Take pictures. Keep a journal. Always keep the goal in sight.
You know what's funny is you say you want somebody else to handle your nutrition and stuff like that because you want to be able to do you.
And that's that exercise.
Which is great.
We speak
But I work with hundreds of thousands of people. And the one thing that I just tell every single one of them is what you just said. And you already know that, which is interesting because all these people believe that they're, I already know, I already compete, but I'm going to have you take me to the next level. And then I give them a nutrition plan. They go, okay, so what vitamins do you want me on? How much cardio do you want me on? Whoa. Well, just like what you said, let the nutrition that I just gave you do what it needs to do. We'll get on supplements down the road. We'll get on the cardio down the road. Chill. This isn't like, it doesn't work that way.
Well, they're all tools, right?
They're all tools.
And the founding, or like we're talking about, nutrition is first and foremost, and then the training, and then the other techniques that you can employ, but get those things square first. And because you don't want to micromanage everything. Right now, we're not going to dial in all these different little trace elements or pieces of nutrition that are just, for the most part, hogwash. Just focus on your basic eating, your food groups. Get that lined up. Okay, let's start you off 3 or 4 days a week. Basic compound movements. Let's stay there for 6 months. See what's up.
Why is everybody in such a rush? Or why do they think that if you jump in at 100%, you'll get in shape quicker? Why is that?
Well, I think in many ways it's human nature. And it's kind of like instant gratification. I mean, or somebody wants to see results. I mean, like I said, when it comes time for me to try to spin up and get back in shape, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I need to start fast. I need to get in shape fast because, you know, but that's me. And I love the life I live works for me. I'm part entertainer. I'm part, you know, pro athlete still in my mind. But I like to live both worlds.
Yeah.
So I do. But there's a balancing act, and I've learned to do that. What you got, Jeff?
So speaking about that balancing, what are some things you guys are doing outside of the training for recovery and maintaining, you know, after all the years of training and, you know, beating yourself down? What are you guys doing outside?
I have and started a lot more massages at this stage. I at least get 2 massages a week. I also keep the pool. If I'm not swimming with my boy, I keep the pool cold, and I'll come home from the gym and I'll jump in the pool with it cold and just sitting there to get that inflammation down from the training. Besides those two things, I'm still not doing a lot of other things except making sure I get my sleep as much as I can, which is such a key point. And then just I'm so anal when it comes to nutrition.
I was going to ask you how much sleep you got.
I'll get 7 a night, and I'll get at least an hour nap at some point during the day.
Dude, you're notorious for being in the gym by 4 a.m., so what time are you going down?
I am done by 8 o'clock to the latest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as far as my answer to that question is, little to nothing in regards to anything special. I don't sleep very well. I wish I slept better than I do, but that's just my nature. It's hard for me to take a nap. I might be able to get about a 15 or 20 minute doze off if I ain't doing nothing. As far as I was doing some DDP yoga from a buddy, Diamond Dallas Page, but as type A as I am, you know, I just I could do more in the way of that. I've been checking into some saunas and some of that, that cold stuff, or some, you know, like ice baths type thing. But I'm so type A or ADD, you know, I just want to do my thing. And, you know, if I get some sleep, I'm good.
That's funny. It's funny you were with Diamond Dallas on the yoga, because I was thinking about, and I've said this to my girl, that we should try to get into some more yoga.
Dude, I'm so bound up just from all the scar tissue and the injuries, and because I never have been a big proponent of stretching, that, you know, as we get older, I think, you know, that kind of stuff that Dallas has been teaching and preaching and changing lives of hundreds of thousands of people as well are high on the list. So I will delve back into that.
I'll go with you. That'll be the next YouTube video. I was going to yoga.
It'll be a comedy.
Oh, my gosh. With Diamond Dallas, too. That's awesome. I was with Diamond over at WCW when Battle Dome and WCW teamed up. So that was fun. I got to meet him and hang with him for a bit.
Dallas is he's an absolute nut, but he's one of my best friends. I love him to death, and I know that if I ever needed anything, he would be there
for
me.
Guy.
Yeah, but he's an absolute nut. But he's changed literally the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. Get us with another question, Jeff.
How is your gym mindset carried over into other aspects of your guys' life, like work, relationships, or just other disciplines?
Huh. How so? How would you answer that, Mike?
That's interesting, because I know for when it comes to the gym, it's that consistency and that I love to go in as a different person. That's my fight. That's my born gladiator mentality. I love to go in into battle, and whoever I'm training with, I need to beat or out rep or just go ballistic. And how I guess that translates outside of it is that it keeps me consistent on understanding that regardless of the business, I just got to stay true to it and stay pushing. Something that, you know, you've been successful in is the movies and stuff like that. And I keep pushing for those. And they don't we keep getting these one spots, and then it goes dry for a while, and then a one spot. And so it just keeps me pushing forward to keep going.
Well, yeah, I did some low-budget movies when I first came to town, but when I started doing some hosting and some reality-type stuff, you know, that's kind of the stuff that I'm more doing. But as far as how it affects the rest of my life, or the only way I can say is, or any of my strategies in the gym don't really apply to anything else in life other than the fact that, man, when I'm working out, it's like I took that time off for hunting season, just kind of let everything go. That's all fine and dandy for a little bit, but, you know, man, I don't feel as good physically or mentally as I do when I am consistently training. And sometimes it takes you a little while to get that rust off, and you start going, and you first get back in the gym. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, because you probably have never been out of the gym, but it's like nothing's really happening. Nothing's really firing. You kind of lose that pump, as we would say in the gym. And it's like, okay, you know, this is another thing. You know, I'm going to have to string these together with being consecutive and being consistent to, okay, things start firing again, and then all of a sudden you get back on a roll, and just all of a sudden kind of that cloud comes off. You're mentally more focused. You're a lot sharper than you were, and you just feel better. So it affects everything about my life. As it applies to anything, I don't know, but it makes me feel better about myself. It makes me feel better to be strong. It makes me feel better in my head to be active and engaged and, you know, being underneath some weight, or, you know, just I'm doing a lot of cleaning jerks and overhead presses. Just instead of walking up to a rack and just taking a bar off, I'm picking stuff up off the ground in my driveway. And when I'm doing that, I feel much better about life in general.
It's interesting, because you just said something, and you're right. I haven't missed any time in the gym since 9 years old. But you were saying how it's like rusty, nothing's happening. The training and the nutrition I've been doing as I continue, because I've been working on this deal, and it's my own line of supplements finally. But it's for supplements that I need, that I believe in, skincare, joint support, boost of testosterone, pump, not caffeine-based, but just pump. So as I'm getting ready for this, I wanted to be in great shape. But I took a bump off stage back in November, December. And I got up and I continued forward, but I got banged up. But I had to continue forward, except I couldn't take time off to be in a surplus of calories to let the body heal. I had to keep dieting. I had to keep on the cardio. I had to keep doing everything. And it was a good drop. And I got banged. And nobody knew it, not even my girl. And I continued forward. And the body shut down. Shut down completely. I couldn't get any leaner. Body was blowing up. Body wasn't utilizing anything calorie-wise. And I'm sitting there going, sheesh, I want to get in great shape. And then my body's shutting down. And it was such a trauma. It's like a car crash. You know, you get hit. Your body goes through that shock. And so I'm sitting there fighting against it. And I don't even care who you are, but you can't fight against that. And your body just shut down. So I know there's people out there that are probably listening to this going, well, you didn't miss the workouts and stuff, so you're fine. No, your body will shut down even if you're in the gym. If you're stressed out, and you said something, you said mentally. Dude, I think the gym is so 70% mental. It helps you clear out your mind. It helps you clear out things. If it's a relationship or family or bills or whatever it is, it helps you release that energy. But it can shut you down if you're just fighting that body giving up on you. And so for me, for anybody out there that's going through that trauma of the gym not working for you anymore, try to do the yoga with like DDP and stuff like that, or try to get out there and do some more meditation and let your body recover.
The other day I was having a interesting day, I'll leave it at that, and then my workout kind of got, you know, put out of place, and I was like, about 6:30, it's kind of getting dark around here in L.A., and I was like, God dang, man, you know, 6:30, I just kind of want to wind down. But, you know, I'm not going to go to bed till 10, 11, whatever. You know what? I'll pick up that workout tomorrow. And I thought about blowing it off. And I said, no, dude, you've got 30 days to look like you want to look. Or you get in. Taking a day off, is that going to help you or hinder you? Because I'm not in an overtrained state. I said, you're going to get your ass out there and you're gonna do it. I went out there. Rolled my barbell out and, you know, started doing some cleaning jerks, started going some squats and ended up with some heavy shrugs. I was like, you know, by the time I finished, about an hour later, you know, that workout boosted me mentally because, you know, I didn't let myself backslide. I held myself accountable. You know, probably no one else is going to look at me and say, hey, you missed a workout the other day. But, hey, man, you know, I made a commitment. And I'm living, you know, up to that commitment. So I went out there and I felt better just by doing that one workout. Not from a general state of mind, but just because that, you know, that state of mind is kind of just ongoing and long term. That was specific and immediate. I felt better because I got my ass in the gym, in my garage, in my driveway, and did what I said I was going to do.
Such an incredible thing. When people think about weightlifting, they think, I don't know, stronger or more muscle or this or that. It's so much mental. Helps you out on days like that. Helps you on bad days or you lose somebody and you go in and you train. All those kind of things. It's amazing what
it's therapy.
Exercise. And I don't mean weightlifting. It's just it is therapy.
Oh, same thing, man. I got up this morning, swung out of bed. Dude, you really need to do this fasted. You know, we're going back to that. One, just, you know, stay in bed, you know, have your coffee, eat breakfast, and then get your workout this afternoon. No, Mike's coming over. I'm going to get all my stuff out of the way. So I got over here, got my hour in, and it was like, you know,
boom.
I'm on it. And I'm doing it for me. I ain't doing it for you. Right. I'm not doing it for anybody in this room. I'm doing it for me.
That's huge. I mean, that point alone, though, for anybody that's listening to this, if 100%, if you're doing it for somebody else, if you're doing it so I look good for girls, or you're doing it for an ex-girl,
yeah,
ain't going to stay with you. You're not going to keep it going. You've done this life because this is what you've liked. You wrestled, and you traveled, and you did those days of pain in the ass traveling. I mean, it's not easy what you've done, but none of it was for fame or money. It was because it was you doing you that you made a promise to yourself. Is that true?
That's right.
But I think it's so many people, mostly with social media now today, is I want to do this because I want to be famous. I want to do this because I want to make money. You won't stay true.
They want to do it for the attention. And whatever, anybody's motive or...
But do you think they will stay with it? Because
I don't know. Speculation.
I've never met anybody that did it for somebody else and stayed true to it.
Again, I just look at everybody just from being around the way that I've been around now. And I've been kind of studying people lately, and a lot of the... I took a trip to the Gold's Gym the other day. I couldn't believe it, but you weren't there. You might have been taking your nap. Went over there with Menzer, saw Mike Ryan and the gang, and signed that picture from when the WWF crews were there.
Couldn't they got a better picture? That thing's out of focus. Come on.
What are you going to do?
Rich Menzer.
But and I saw everybody in there, you know, doing their stuff for the social media. And it's cool, you know, that's their thing or whatever. But... Yeah, I do it for me, and that's the bottom line. You got another good question?
Yeah, so speaking about social media, do you guys ever sit and think about the millions of people that you guys are influencing or the effects that, you know, like there's a lot of people that you guys have touched throughout childhood and, you know, teenagers, adults?
I think it's I think mostly lately, I think I've learned more about social media on the hardships of my life, that it could be used in a great way if you talk about it. Like when I lost my mom or I lost my puppy, when I talked about it and just opened up and didn't care what people thought, and I said, I'm crushed. I'm absolutely destroyed. This is I feel like nothing is relevant in the world right now because of the heartbreak I have. And to hear other people and to communicate, which is connection. And I think we all want that connection with people. And you connect in that sense, I think, is the greatest thing. More than the health and fitness or the nutrition or somebody changing in that sense. But when I have talked to people and they said, you made a difference in my life today because of how you felt and I relate that way. I think those are some of the craziest and most beautiful things social media can add value to life.
Yeah, I kind of do more Instagram now than Twitter. I try to stay active on either one, but man, my stuff is just kind of, it's a hobby, you know, and I'm passionate about, you know, my beer. I love to ride my side by side. I like to work out, and I guess my Instagram page would be a place of a positive mindset. I'm not telling everybody, hey, go have a great day every day, or, you know, that verbally. You know, I'm pretty happy. I'm a glass half full guy. You know, if I wake up, that day is there for me to make the most of or get something out of it. You know, you're not gonna get everything out of every day, but you ought to get something out of every day. And some days are gonna be better than others. I'm not that glass half empty guy, so I'm not necessarily trying. And people call them influencers, whatever. You know. My Instagram is a hobby. It's an extension of me. If the people want to enjoy it, they can. And if not, you know, I don't want to harp on the negative things in life. I don't want to talk politics. I don't want to talk religion.
I got something, because I look at you and you've made a success after wrestling. Why is it that so few, you connected, or something about you connected with society and people love you? And it's the, from my point of view, is you're just so real. Who you were as a wrestler is just a fun-loving guy that likes to go out and drink beer and have fun. Yeah. And that's kind of who you really are, where there's a lot of people that are putting on a facade. What is it about that, or can you even answer that, about why is it that people just love you?
Man,
and it continued, man, because they do. Come on now.
I've got my detractors. Yeah, I'm no angel, but I'm just...
But that's real, though. Not everybody's an angel. Not everybody's, you know...
Yeah. No, I don't know. I just... I'm a big believer in the golden rule. I want to treat others the way I want to be treated. And so, you know, if I run across you, if we meet or whatever, I'm going to treat you the way I'd want you to treat me.
But see, I go off of how Mona is, my girl, and she's very strong, independent woman. Came here, couldn't speak the language, makes herself a multimillionaire. And so for her, you know, it's Americans, you know, the dream that everybody can do. But she's very strong, and she doesn't associate with a lot of people. Her circle is very small. And you're one of those few people that she looks at and goes, that's a good person. That's someone I'd love to hang out with and be around. That's a good man. So that's just props.
You know, it's interesting you say that about Mona, because, you know, through my past 10 years of my life, you know, I don't want to say as positive as I am, because I want to come across like I'm just some happy-go-lucky guy that just goes around with a big smile on his face. You know, I got my ups and downs too. But, man, I'd hang around with, you know, some people that, you know, didn't bring out the best in me, or, you know, weren't really positives. And so I got away from those people. And I think you are kind of – you can definitely be, or most likely are, a reflection of who you hang around with.
It's funny. We all those silly things that we heard as kids, be consistent. You are who you hang with. Wake up and try to make the best out of the day. Those are true statements.
Well, right. If you hang around with a bunch of people that are doing a bunch of bad things, you're probably doing a bunch of bad things. But if you're out there, you know, hanging with people that are doing positive things and things that are, you know, down the right road, you know, your chances are that you're probably going to be, you know, successful or at least happy.
And if those people are dog people, then, you know, oh, I'm just kidding.
Hey, man, half of my Instagram page is my Instagram page is just so random, because that's just kind of the way I am. But half of my pictures of me on my Kawasaki stuff, or the other half is my dogs, and my dogs sleep in the same bed with me and my wife. And a lot of people that are into dogs say, "Hey, man, we draw the line. Ain't no line drawn over there, man. No dogs go with us every place we go." So, yeah, half my content is my two dogs.
Yeah, no, and I love that about that. It's the same way, man. You come into our house and it's, "Hey, whoa, your dogs are getting all high." Yeah? That's all right. It's their house, not yours.
Yeah, dude, I'll get people come over all the time, and that's why I had this place, you know. This is out of my, you know, this is a separate place from the house that I live in. And like, "Hey, man," I'll ask people, "Are you cool with dogs?" And then, you know, 95% of the people are. That doesn't mean they're dog people. They're just cool with
dogs.
You know what I'm saying about people? Yeah. Dog people are different level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are those people like, "You got to put the dogs up." Guys were installing my treadmill the other day, and one guy was just frightened to death of dogs. So I put Callie, my terrorized and black lab, you know, I've locked her out. But he wasn't cool with dogs. But I digress. Yeah, I'm a dog fanatic.
Right, man. I'm a dog.
If you're a dog person, you get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's us. You got another question?
No, but I'll go someplace. Somebody's dog is jumping all over me. I know your dogs are real mannered. Callie kind of get a little crazy. And I'm like, "Hey, man, it's cool. I'm a dog person." So, you know, and I like a well-behaved dog. But if someone's dog is jumping on me, a little bit dog, or doing whatever doing, I'm that guy. I don't care.
We're good with it.
You're not going to mess up my look.
It's funny is because on social media, you can get tagged on photos. And so as I travel the world and stuff and meet people and stuff, and I get a lot of those dog people come up and go, "Hey, here's my dog. Here's my dog."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, tag me on the dog pictures to all my fans. Tag me on the dog pictures. Less of you posing in your underwear." Okay? I really appreciate that. I'll tell you that right now. Just tag me in your dog pictures. You'll probably get a like. You tag me in your underwears posing. It's not going to happen.
What did you got, Jeff? You got another?
Oh, I was going to say that. My fans challenged me to go out to your ranch, where you put on your show and stuff, and try some of the events.
We could do that, but they said they canceled that damn series. Someone had just asked me on Twitter the other day, "Hey, man, is there going to be a season six? Is there going to be season
no
six
way.
Of Burnsville Challenge?" I said, "No, because some rocket scientist canceled it." Anyway, it was what it was.
All right.
So you can't come out there.
So I can't come out.
We're building a place and working on a place in Nevada. You can come out there and hang, though.
All right. Done. Yeah. Done.
So you talked earlier about you got 30 days to get back in shape.
Yep.
So some of these guys want to know, is it too late to start at like 40 years
great.
Old?
Oh, man. It ain't never too late to start. 65, 75, 85 is never too late to start. Now, again, okay, let's take the guy that's 65 and he's never worked out and he wants to start. Okay, what's a good start for that guy? Should we get him on a heavy deadlift program? No. We're going to start him off by walking him around the block.
Thank you.
You know, three times a week. So what did you just ask me? Ask me the question again?
Yeah.
Is it too late?
Is it ever too late? No, man. Yeah, I was going in that story about that guy. For me, I thought you were asking specifically what my actions were going to be. It's all the consistency and the work that I'm putting in. But no, man, it ain't never too late, ever.
So I did a study. Now, this is a long study, but I worked with a guy, and he was an average Joe with no genetics. And we started him at 40, and now he's 47. His bone density has doubled. Now, again, not genetically gifted. Also, not on TRT or anything like that. At 47, he's in better shape than he's ever been in his entire life. And that's training 3 days a week in nutrition.
So great.
Just and the thing about this is stuff that we've studied. We've taken documents from the whole time. We've taken blood tests. We've taken DEXA scans the whole period of time. And people freak out. And I just put up a before and after of him because we do take him in the off season most of the time. And then we slice him up for whatever big events he has. And this is a guy that works 100 hours a week. He's over at ICM, agent. Does this as a hobby. And the transformation in 90 days was so much that everybody said it was fake. And they're like, that's not real. That had to be steroids. That had to be this. And it's interesting. They're going to watch you in the next 30 days get ready for this TV show and change. And they're going to give every excuse in the book on why you're changing.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to say every little.
But like what you said, we're just talking about dude. You said, here, dude with no genetics. Meaning just like a regular, everyday person.
We're talking about, you're
a bodybuilder guy. I'm a meathead wrestler guy. But when we're talking about genetics, I'm not, dude, ain't got no genetics. Oh, man, the guy's got great genetics. You know, it's just your. And it's not a knock. It's just, do I have bodybuilding genetics? No. Could I be a bodybuilder? Yes. Am I probably most likely going to be successful? No. I mean, that's just being realistic with dealing with the cards that you got. Hey, man, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
You got 30 days for your show. How are you going to change the nutrition and training going into your television?
Man, I'm kind of rotating my carbs depending on what body part I'm training. I'll have a higher carb day on legs and back. And protein remains anywhere between 300 and 340.
Well, don't jump past it. See, I don't know. It seems like people don't realize how big we are. I don't know if you know that. But when I meet people, they're like, holy shnikes, I thought you were like 5'8 or something, like Tom Cruise size or something. And then I meet people, and then they're like, oh, shit, you're, you know, normally I'm around 285. And so they're freaked out. So you're not 49 anymore, but you're taking in 300 grams of protein a day.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. First off, let me just say that's awesome because you're understanding you're still feeding that muscle.
Right.
And you're still, to me, that automatically says you still believe you can get better, which I think the majority of society, which I don't understand, don't believe they can get better. They believe after a certain time you're done. Your testosterone goes down, which, again, testosterone is such a funny thing to people. But you're taking in a good amount of protein. You're playing with your carbs, which is great because it's on back day and leg day you need it. What's your high on the carbs those days?
Man, a high day for me really is about 240.
Okay.
That's a high day for me. That's a high day.
That's not bad.
300 would be a very high day, and I don't really go above that.
That's like six cups of, that'd be one, two, three. It'd be like four cups of oatmeal for 300. That's a lot of carbs for anybody.
Yeah.
And then your low day would be what?
Low day, right around 75 to 100.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
On a day off, really just one serving of carbs, and that's going to be a cup of oatmeal, and that's 53 grams of carbs.
Okay. So on the day off, you drop it down, and that's because you're basically cutting right now.
Right.
Let me ask you then two questions. It's going to be twofold. So to me, that sounds great right now. That sounds smart. You're taking in the low carbs. Are you taking in the carbs before and after training when you're doing 50 to 75 or 100?
I like to get my carbs in early. So, you know, on the medium to high carb days, you know, breakfast is always 12 egg whites and a cup of oats. And so then it's going to be, you know, in the 50 to 60 range for those next two meals, and then I'll start feathering them out. Well, on a high carb day, I'll eat them till each meal until I get them in. But yeah, I was going to ask you, are you one of those para workout guys, like before, during? You know, a lot of guys drink some type of, you know, glyco this, that, or whatever, and then they'll try to you know, get the bulk of their carbs, you know, in the 4-hour, 5-hour window, pre and post workout. You know, I think that's kind of micromanaging.
Agreed.
You know, I just, if I get them in, I get them in, whether I jump them all in. I'd rather, to me, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, man, if I'm eating a cup and a half of oatmeal, this is before you cook it, man, that's a bunch of damn carbs, you know, just in one lump sum. So I kind of like to just spread things out. That seems to be where everything works for me. So that's what I do.
I agree with you. Mostly because today we're getting carried away, the whole fasted cardio thing. And that's a metaphor for all of this health and fitness stuff from these so-called experts. And now this latest one, and I had to do a video on this. And I rarely talk down about something because I think all nutritional plans will work if you're consistent. But somebody just said a myth about nutrition is it doesn't matter. And again, you're old school like me. It doesn't matter that your 3,000 calories are small meals through the day. It just matters that you get them all in. Well, so I understand this. You're saying you can basically eat 3,000 calories at bedtime and you're fine. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life, because we grew up with the concept of your body utilizes about 30 to 40 grams every couple hours, depending on your size. And it's the same way for carbohydrates. There's a certain amount of carbohydrates your body will utilize without spilling over at a certain period of time. And if you eat them throughout the day, not just around your workout, but throughout the day, your body has a better chance to utilize those calories. And so, yeah, I'm with you on how you're doing it right now, mostly because you're getting ready for something.
What about if someone is on a 2,500-calorie-a-day diet? They're just trying to hit that as, you know, the big macro, okay, 2,500 calories. And they can either, let's just say, theoretically, that two double quarter pounders with cheese equals 2,500 calories. They can be better off eating those two cheeseburgers, double cheeseburgers, that are 2,500 calories in theory, versus something that is clean protein, clean carbs, and, you know, decent, you know, the right kind of fats.
I see what you're saying, but no.
Both the numbers are the same, but the food gatherings or groups are a little bit different.
I think it was great. Somebody made an analogy to the concept of calories as calories, protein as protein. No, it's a steak protein is clearly more amino acids-based protein than a fish. They're different. Now, is the difference between a steak and a hamburger? Of course there's a difference. There's a difference between all nutrients, and your body utilizes certain nutrients better than other nutrients. So, no, the concept of having your 25,000 calories and two hamburgers to society today, go, no, it's 2,500. That's all you got to burn off. That's utilizing the correct calories at the correct time. You don't have to be as anal as I am about this stuff, but you got to be realistic at the same time. You're not going to get in shape if you're eating two hamburgers every single day for a week. It doesn't work that way. I've never seen it work that way. I've never seen somebody get better.
Right. I mean, to me, the probably the one hamburger once a week would be the ticket, more so than the two a day that theoretically added up to 2,500 calories. Did you have something else?
I got tons, but we'll save it for next time when you show me how to do this, these four-wheeling buggies and all that kind of stuff, man. I do got to make it up to your new place when you make it.
Let me see. One of the questions I did want to ask you, I don't know if you went into it, I know you got short on time.
Nah.
But what are your go-to supplements that you must have? being it a creatine. These are the, I'm not putting words in your mouth. Creatine, yeah. Branch chains, fish oil. I mean, is there something that you cannot live without?
I'll say this. I wish I was better with the D's and the multivitamins as a youngster and not so carried away with the I got to get strong and big vitamins relative to I've discovered in the last year glutamine has saved me. Branch chain amino acids, EAAs, the things that they say are a waste have saved me this last year, actually saved me. From overtraining, from my continuous trying to prove certain diets work and certain diets don't work. Those kind of things are a must for me. And it's not only me that's doing these tests. I have this whole Titan crew that trains with me, and they do the same diets. And so I get to analyze a 20, a 30, a 40, a 50, a 60-year-old. I also get males and females. And so I'm analyzing all this data as we do this. And it was amazing, the combination of the glutamine, the branch chain amino acids, and the EAAs really gave me so much energy, mostly on a low-carb diet. But for anybody and everybody, D's and multivitamins and vitamin C, those basic things that aren't going to make you huge and muscular are going to allow you to stay healthy so you can train more than the other people that aren't staying healthy. And that's one of the biggest things. And so when it comes to my nutrition, the main things I focused on was joint support, skin. Why does everybody forget about skin? Because people don't look at me and say skin. They go, wow, you're ripped and in shape. But the texture of my skin for these years, they bypass that little stuff that still, you know, when you get 50 or 60, you still want that skin to look good. So those are the things I developed.
Okay, what about... How many protein shakes a day, in your mind, is doable? Now, yeah. It's better to always eat your food.
Right.
I think we agree on that, right?
Correct.
Okay, but when in a jam, or if you are traveling in the middle of nowhere, or on a shoot, I mean...
I'm pretty lenient about this. I if I'm working with somebody and they're trying to get in 3 or 4 shakes a day because they're at the office, I will not allow it. You're at the office. Prep your meals, take them to the office, eat your meal. Don't be lazy. If you're traveling on the road like we have, and Mona will tell you this, dude, I'm shakes every 2 hours. And she'll take 2 big buckets of shakes. And it's
really?
Just, yeah. If we're traveling to Dubai, if we're trying to do Dubai and it's a 16-hour flight, I'm doing shakes the whole time. So, again, you and I agree. What's the best? Food. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's not pre-digested in this sense also. It's going to help speed up your metabolism right. By doing real food. But shakes is a great replacement.
Man, also, when you're sawing through whatever Trader Joe's 96-4 lean hamburger meat or chicken breast after chicken breast or any other lean protein source, sometimes those protein shakes taste like dessert.
Oh.
I'm not talking about anything with sugar. I'm just saying... Dude, throw a couple of blueberries and some raspberries in a blender and, you know,
just
with
give
some
me
almond milk.
Because you made me hungry because I'm fasting today. I'm fasting like yesterday and today I'm fasting.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, just those shakes, you know, I'm a big believer.
You know what's,
I'll always
you know what's awesome?
Eat. Eating is my first option, but I ain't afraid of the protein shake.
On cheat days, I'll do Greek yogurt and protein, chocolate protein. And there's some protein. You just open that protein thing up and you smell it and you're like, wow, that's dessert. Don't you want chocolate cake or something? No, this protein drink's fine with the yogurt and there's some berries.
Do you have a sweet tooth or any food cravings? You know, I know you're fasted, you're starving, but what is your kryptonite?
I'm a foodie. And Mo will tell you this right now. She'll tell you that one is too much, 1,000 is not enough. So when I do have leash off and it's a high day, and I'll explain a high day to you, but, when I have a high day, I'll go off and it's her number one thing that she makes me is, a good 2 pounds of fruit with some, sorbet and stuff in it. And that's my go-to. Or she does these egg sandwiches that everybody has when they come over for a podcast.
Yeah.
She does this, turkey patty, English muffins, eggs and bacon and some cheese, and those things are just to die for first thing in the morning. Yeah, that's sick, dude. One day, man, we just got to eat.
Man, about Halloween, when my wife, like out of all the holidays, Halloween's her favorite holiday. And so nobody ever knocks on the gate, right? Trick-or-treating over here, it's just no happening. You know, back when we were kids, everybody's trick-or-treat. But
right.
So she'll get all these, you know, those Reese's peanut butter cup gimmicks. Mm. And, you know, dude, if it's about midnight and I just got a little bit of munchies and I'll go eat one, it's like, I might as well just sit there and eat the whole bag because I can, and I probably will. I mean, I'll stop at 6 or 7, but you
see,
do
I
that
won't.
A couple nights
I
back
won't,
to back.
I won't stop.
Yeah, but see, you'll eat them in one.
I'll do it in one day, and
I'll
then the next day.
I'll hit 6 or 8 for the next 3 weeks, and that's my problem. The last thing, are you doing any high-intensity cardio? Because to me, it sounds like in the state that you're in, that would be the furthest thing from your mind would be high-intensity style cardio.
Okay, so here's a huge thing. We didn't even talk about this as training principles. I'll tell you this. I've learned so much about training and the time between lifting and the speed of lifting. If you are at a plateau and you've done your basic cardio and you've done your basic training and you need to speed it up a bit, then I'm okay with you doing a little higher intensity. But I'm a time-lapse guy. There's a point where I'm trying to create a physique, which is different than athletics. If you're doing athletics, you better be doing some HIIT cardio. You better be getting in there and turning and burning. And you better be training until you crawl out of the gym. That's athletics. But if you tell me something and you say, hey, these athletes are in incredible shape. They are. Do they look good? Absolutely not. The majority of MMA fighters, are completely overtrained. And they have to be, which is unfortunate because they get so broken down. But they don't look great. The majority of them don't. They're soft. They got soft stomachs and stuff. And people, I don't think, relate and understand that. There's a difference between making an art piece, which is bodybuilding, or even wrestling today. They want to walk out there and you want to look good. There's a difference between that training and athletic training in the sense of solely being great at your sport. When you're great at your sport, MMA, football, whatever it is, these guys have to overtrain. And it doesn't do great to the body. Relative to the guy that's trying to look like an art piece, it's a completely different training. It is slow, steady cardio. It is basic training, not jumping around the gym, popping and rocking. It is just go in, tear the fibers, and get out. It's go in, do your cardio for a period of time to enhance your cut, and then get out. It's a different world.
So your time on the treadmill, let's say treadmill,
is based on a ladder principle. If I'm starting my cut, it's none. 2 weeks in, it's at a half an hour. 2 more weeks in, it's at 45 minutes. 2 weeks in, it's in an hour. The reason why is because the body I know is going to adapt. Each stage, I need to move it forward without destroying myself. And at the same time, only worrying about burning a certain amount of calories and fat relative to being in shape that day. You can't be in shape in a day. You can be in shape in 12 weeks, and that's my goal, 12 weeks. I don't need to rush it, but I do need to be able to keep it going and changing it till the body keeps burning as you continue forward and then back down again.
That makes sense. But with respect to the MMA fighters, I think part of what you speak of also is depending on – because, you know, some guys in there are true ectos, true mesos, and some are endos. And so some, you know, I think – yeah, they could
be in an
overtrained.
Freaks.
Yeah, so
I mean, St. Pierre.
Some of them look like a million bucks.
Right.
So, some of them not so much. But I understand the part about, you know, maybe from an overtrained state, or
imagine what St. Pierre would look like if he tried to bodybuild, because of all that training he was doing, and he still looked great. Or those other guys, Woodley. Woodley looks like a bodybuilder already, and so those guys, and the amount of training, if they backed down that training and changed it. It's like Mike Bisping right now.
What's he doing?
He's looking better. But it's because we're doing less.
Right.
We're doing less and feeding him correctly.
No, but what you're saying really, you know, helps me put it in perspective, because I got this treadmill in my garage, man. I'm like, man, I'm just easing into it, but I'm starting to get it, you know, in that mid-range. And I started thinking, hey, dude, you ought to try some HIIT. And I'm like, No, man, I ain't trying to run up a mountain. You know, that's not what it's about. I'm trying to carve some material off.
Go deeper in that, though.
Do what?
Go deeper, because you're starting to panic because you got your show coming.
Right.
And you're in.
Oh, yeah,
moving fast
yeah.
enough. And
yeah.
so now.
Hurry.
Yeah.
An hour ago, I was talking about, you know, easing into everything. But now I'm at that point where, you know, I'm thinking, okay, am I going to make what what I set out to do? So I'm trying to rush the process a little bit.
But I'm going to say this to everybody. I've been doing this for 42 years. I still feel that way at times. I still feel that way at times. And there's got to be that other person maybe you talk to, and that's why you have somebody you can talk to and say, hey, and feel free to keep messaging me like you do. But talk to somebody outside of yourself, because we always try to rush the process when you got to trust the process. And it's a tough thing to do, mostly for us.
You're right about that, trusting the process, because I know I'm doing the right things. I know I am. And I, you know, right
now. Even when you know it.
Yeah.
Even when you know it, you still.
You know the deal.
And I hope everybody out there understands that we're not supermen and we still have those feelings.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, tell people where they can find you, what you're up to, or where you're headed to next, and everything about Instagram and social media and your website.
You can find me following Steve Austin on every social media platform that always. MikeOhern.com on anything and everything. Mike O'Hearn. Just. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, what's a TikTok, MySpace, LinkedIn, anything.
Last but not least, are you still hitting everything, or maybe we talked about it earlier, once a week?
I've tried, and I got to be honest, I loved, when I was in a surplus of calories, I went to 2 times a week. And I freaking loved it and missed it. I did less per workout, but I freaking loved getting back to those 2 days a week. And I think my crew will tell you the same thing. We were training at 4 in the morning, and then second workout was by like 10 or 11. And it was just fun to go in, hit something. Hypothetically, I'd normally hit about 15 sets for biceps, but at this stage, I was doing like 9 sets. And we were getting to the meat of it quicker and then leaving the gym. So it was less work, but twice a week. So finished out about 18 to 20 sets per week relative to my 15. And I freaking, the body, and again, this is why I say about the nutrition. Each nutrition plan will work if you're consistent. Each training plan will work for a period of time. As long as, again, you're recovering. And this is a guy that's in his 50s. And I was doing 2 body parts a week, but I was eating right nutrition, and it was recovering. And I freaking loved it, and I'll go back to that.
It's good to hear you say that, because I enjoy hitting a body part twice a week.
Yeah.
I get back off a little bit of the volume, cut your sets back a little bit, you know, and you leave
Don't
a little
do
bit
the same
in the gym.
Amount. Right.
Leave a little bit in the gym, but a little more frequency. Because, again, when I start, you know, like, a while ago, I'm saying, hey, man, it's not a sprint, but right now I'm in a little bit of a sprint to go along with that marathon, and that twice a week just kind of works a little bit
that
better for
be
me up in my head as well.
That would be smart for you, because
right.
I'm okay with you tearing the fibers of the muscle and it trying to recover with the nutrition relative to you trying to bust out on that cardio and just hitting the high, because it's the continuous body trying to recover using those calories. And then you're not taking in that many calories. So now it's going to your fat to help it recover. And so it's like, I'm okay with that, you doing that.
Well, as that goes, I'll keep you posted.
Keep me posted, and I'll be seeing it, right?
Mike O'Hearn, ladies and gentlemen. Mike O'Hearn. The Titan.
I love this lighting. My arms look huge.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. It's time to wrap up the podcast right off in the sunset. Before I do that, I want to thank my guest, Mike O'Hearn, for coming by the crib today and shooting the breeze about training, nutrition, and a little bit about life. Mike O'Hearn is one of the hardest training guys, most dedicated fitness guys I've ever met in my life. Dude's got an incredible physique. He's unbelievably strong, and he lives the grind every single day. Due diligence to his nutrition, it's off the charts. Always in there working out with heavy weights and taking care of his body. You know, Father Time catches up with all of us, but man, to see Mike and the physique that he maintains, it's an unbelievable amount of hard work. So lots of information. Mike's been doing this for virtually his entire life. So he's a guy that knows a lot about the business. He's a guy that knows a lot about lifting weights, getting big, and maintaining that kind of physique and building that kind of physique. And it takes a long time to get there, and Mike has certainly done it. A wealth of information. Mike, it's always good to talk to you. Come by again a couple months down the road, and we will shoot the breeze again. Hey, don't forget to rate and review the Steve Austin Show on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends to check us out. If you want to reach me here on the podcast, send an email to questions@steveaustinshow.com. I want to give a shout-out. I want to thank everybody for all the support all across the United States of America for my beer, Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. We are in 17 states now, and we're looking to expand. Texas, this is specifically for you. We just shipped a big truck full of beer all the way to Texas. It should be there in a day or two. Go to the ElSegundoBrewing.com website, click on Broken Skull IPA, look at the interactive map, and you can find the location that is nearest you. As a matter of fact, you can click on that map anywhere in the United States and find out where this beer can be found out closest to your location. If you're in Cali, we're at Whole Foods, Total Wines, and a lot of other stores. And now we are in Northern California as well as Southern California. Broken Skull IPA, the best IPA in America. And yes, I will be drinking a lot of Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. When I make my return to Monday Night Raw on Austin 316 Day, March the 16th. Looking forward to going out to the Pittsburgh, getting a live mic in my hand, cutting a promo, and drinking a bunch of cold-ass beer. And that's the bottom line, because I said so. If you're looking to get a badass pocket knife, I got two of them. Cold steel Broken Skull knife. Cold steel working man knife. Working man knife, a little bit on the more cost-effective platform. That Broken Skull, that is my favorite knife. That is my go-to knife that I carry every single day of my life. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show, especially BetOnline, Geico, Scott's, and ZipRecruiter. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. Please support them because they support us. If you need more info, check out the show description to this episode for details. Folks, I'm about to gas up my Kawasaki KRX 1000 and head out and ride for about 2 or 3 hours before I have to get back to Los Angeles and start taking care of business. KRX 1000 from Kawasaki, the ultimate side-by-side machine. Hey, stay tuned to my Instagram and Twitter accounts, Steve Austin BSR. I'm about to start making a few changes to my 1974 Camaro Z28. That car's got a 383 stroker motor in it, and about to put a complete suspension system in there from Hotchkiss Suspensions, based out of Mooresville, North Carolina. Mooresville, that's where we saw Dale Earnhardt Jr. over there in Mooresville at the Dirty Mo when we went down there for the Straight Up Steve Austin Show. So it's going to start making some upgrades on the Camaro. We're going to start with Hotchkiss Suspension, probably go with some Black Widow exhaust, different set of headers, and then we're going to look at paint and interior options. And, man, I don't know about making that a five-speed car. I might just leave that turbo 400 in it. But I'm going to be documenting all this on my Instagram account, Steve Austin BSR. Folks, until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories comes the next great true crime podcast, I Survived. Every week, I Survived presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you're going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.